Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Northfield Falls Sunday service. So we're been kind of an interesting week here. It's really kind of nasty out with all the snow. You know, it's quite the drive. But praise God, we're able to get here. You know, over the past couple weeks, let me start with the scripture that I want that's been coming to me. It's going to be Matthew 17, 14 through 21. Give you a minute to get there. Yeah, Matthew 17, 14 through 21. And this has been kind of hit me here recently because it's a situation that I've had to deal with recently. And the Lord taught me a lesson on here. So it says, and there came to him the multitude. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, one thing I want to give a little background and where this comes back home to me is my mom was possessed by a devil. Okay. My childhood was really all I remember of my childhood. My mom was going to the state hospital on a Sunday and having my mom, you know, committed, and that was my Sunday. You know, it was depressing. It hurt a lot. And so, you know, my mom, when she was at home, she was one of these people who would talk to herself and listen to the phone and pace all night and talk in different voices. And, you know, that was my childhood with my mother. And I don't know if any of you, those of you who know John Sexauer, you know, on the scale of my mom being a 10, John was a 1 on that, okay? She was really heavily possessed. And where it came in the end with her is I don't think she knew the Lord. She never got free of it, and she died. She died probably, I think, in 95, I think, somewhere around there. I just don't quite remember the year, but she died. So I have a lot of experience with my childhood. You know, the first 30 years, 35 years of my life, being raised with my mom or living with my mom, having to deal with mental institutions and, you know, state hospitals and halfway houses and all this sort of stuff. I mean, I have no fond memories of my mother. But anyway, where this is coming to is I was at a client's recently. I was at a client, and if my mom was a 10 on the scale of Charles's scale, okay, this girl was a 10 or 11, okay, she was worse. And it was one of those things that I had to go to this client's, and it was a situation where, you know, I probably counted a half dozen different voices of her talking to herself. You know, I mean distinct, different types of voices in this girl. And of course, you know, being raised in the way I was at, I was raised, unfortunately brings back a lot of bad memories, okay? A lot of emotional memories. So here I am sitting at this client's, and I'm praying in tongues, you know, trying to fight a spiritual battle. And I kept on praying, you know, and nothing was happening. Okay, and I've been at this client a lot recently. And so, you know, it's been one of those things. It's not just been a day, you know. It's been, you know, several times over the last, since the beginning of the year. And, you know, when I read this, it says, Jesus says, you know, you can cast out the devils. Okay, now, I was like the disciple. I'm using that as a past tense. My hope is that it stays in the past tense. But I kept on praying, and, you know, over the course of my visits, and, you know, taking authority, and nothing was happening. And finally, the Lord showed me what was wrong. He said to me, love her. Now, my desire to cast out the devil was, I mean, frankly, I was tired of the past coming back to haunt me. I was tired of this. It was about me being uncomfortable in that situation. It wasn't about me loving that girl. And one thing the Lord showed me is that, you know, it says perfect love casteth out fear. Okay, and that's in 1 John 4:8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, there's a couple things that the Lord has shown me over, and this goes back to what this issue that I had is that I wasn't loving this girl. You know, my desire was not that she would be free so that she could hear the Lord. My desire was that I would be free from hearing her and having to deal with that. You know, Jesus Christ, he came to set us free. And the only way that we can be set free is through love. And I know that one thing that has kind of come to me over the last year and a half, or whatever it's been, we talk about faith. You know, we all have the same measure of faith, and that faith gets spread around, and eventually when we accept the Lord, we give him a little bit of faith, and we eventually, if we trust the Lord, we pull that faith out, and it gets back, and it gets purified. And I've spoken or this preached on this several times. But one thing that the Lord showed me on this is that when we accept Jesus Christ and we give him that little bit of faith, Jesus Christ, in turn, gives us that pure agape love that can only come from the Father. And that agape love that we have is really proportional to our faith. Now, that may sound strange, but if you look at it, you know, when we accept the Lord and, you know, we look at others and we go, oh, well, you know, look at their problem, whatever. You know, first of all, we're demonstrating a couple things. First, our faith is small when we accept the Lord. And as it grows, our love increases in like manner as our faith increases. Because only through that faith and only through that love can we see that the work that the Lord can do on that person. And so where I'm going back with this girl is that my love was really toward myself. You know, my faith wasn't in the Lord that he could deliver her. My faith was, or my mindset was, oh God, I just don't want to have to deal with this. You know, because it's not pleasant for me to deal with. And so, as our faith increases, our love increases. You know, because that pure agape love gets multiplied as our faith gets strengthened. And if you look at Jesus, you know, in the end, you know, it talks about Jesus' faith being perfected in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was perfected, and his love was fully perfected, because at that point he was willing to lay down his life completely, and he knew it was going to happen. You know, he loved us so much that he put his life down. Now, am I in that point? Well, I wish I could say I was. But in order for us to really be effective, and really for us to bring forth that gospel of Jesus, we have to have that love. And I know that the Lord showed me in dealing with her is that I wasn't trying to do this out of love. I was doing this out of my own desire to be free of having to deal with it. You know, Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciples, your love one for another. I mean, Jesus is about that love. And that's what we have to bring forth so that others may know it too. You know, I know when my dad accepted the Lord, it was interesting for me. It was in a revival down in Carrie's yard, and my dad had come up, and over the last couple years or previous years, he had a stroke, and he was retired at that point. He was medically retired. And it was interesting, we listened to the same service, and I heard one thing, and he heard another. And what drew my dad to the altar was that the message of love was what was being preached. Okay, and I was thinking, oh, I didn't hear that. I heard something else. But it was that love that drew my father to the altar. It was that love that brought him to the cross. It's the love of the Father that we can bring forth, that can bring people to Jesus. And I can see in myself, I have a very, very, very long way to go. But I know it can happen. It can happen because Jesus said it can. What I have to do is step out of my own way to allow him to work in me. And the only way he's going to be able to move in me is if I bring forth that love that he has given me to others. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing, but if our faith is in Jesus Christ, it can be done. You know, when you see people depart from the faith, why do they depart? Because they've lost the love. So, I guess that's all I wanted to say there.
Well, good morning, folks. You know, Charlie was talking here about love. I want you to understand, love is a choice. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's a choice. Now, we read the word. We read the word here, and the choice is, do we choose to follow it? Or do we choose to do our own thing? And one of the keys to choosing to obey it is a very unpleasant truth for most of us. And that is, we have to come to realize that we don't measure up. We don't measure up. And when we look at it and we look at the word and we realize we don't measure up. And what I'm talking about here, and this is a hard thing for people, because what we usually do is we look at other people and think they don't measure up. Okay, that's what we do. I mean, we're good at that, right? I mean, we've set this high and lofty standard, which we then judge everybody else by, find them to fall short of it, and therefore we're just. Yeah, so we then do this. Now, the word, when we read the word, it's like, a lot of times, like, I don't do very well that way. And it was interesting, this week, I've been reading Proverbs with my children. And my children, I let them take turns reading to me, and we go through it. And as we've read it, we've had a lot to lift up in prayer, haven't we, children?
Yes, a lot.
We start reading it and we realize, I don't do that. I don't do that either. Not too good on that account either. And what happens is that is an unpleasant truth, and we have two ways we can go. If we didn't have the Lord, we'd just give up hope because we'd be like, man, I can't do that. I mean, that's just impossible. But because of who he is, we can have great hope. And so we can ask him, when we realize that we fall short in these things, we can ask him to change us, to help us, to fill us with his love. And when we do that, he likes hearing those prayers. He likes hearing those prayers. And all of a sudden we find ourselves partaking of things and doing things that we've never done before. And it's cool, and we like it. And we're like, wow, that was cool. And the purpose of that is so that we'll kind of get addicted to it. You know what I mean? We'll want more of that and less of the former stuff that we've had. And that's how the life of a Christian grows, is you partake of the things that God's doing. He lets you be a partaker of that. He changes your life, and you want more of him in your life and less of that old guy who you used to think was pretty cool according to that standard that everybody else seemed to fall short of. And so there is an element of being a Christian that is very unpleasant to you as an individual, because the Word of God testifies against us. As the Scripture says, all men become guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the truth. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, the sooner you embrace that, the better for you. The longer it takes you to embrace it, it's like taking that Band-Aid off, you know what I mean, and doing it like slow, and you're like, man, what should watch somebody like Joseph do something like that? I mean, because Joseph will describe for you every little hair follicle that's being pulled, you know, he'll be doing this kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And what you know, if you've ever done this before, those of us who, we got a bunch of us who have had enough years on us in this room, that we've known, that just doesn't work. Just whack, get it off quick. It's going to hurt. No, there's no question about it, but it's going to be off. And then we can go forward and deal with whatever we got to deal with on the backside of it being off. And so that's much like what I'm talking about here, is the sooner you can recognize that, you know what, Lord, you just come to that place where, you know, I just been wrong. I didn't even realize I was wrong. I thought I was right. I thought I was pretty good. I thought all of these different things, but I was wrong. I was mistaken. And you can say, look, I see that in every way you exceed me. But your promise is that I can partake of what you're doing. And so I'm going to, that's what I want. And it says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So as you do this, the Lord will transform you, and you will get the opportunity to partake abundantly of his life, which is what it's all about. Now, Sound, that all sounds good and everything like that. I get that. Yeah, yeah. All right, praise God. That's what I want. All right, then it comes down to the brass tacks of doing it. All right, the brass tacks of doing it, and Charlie was just describing some of the brass tacks of doing it, which is me, myself, and I are mightily inconvenienced by you. Do you not get it? You are a pain in my derriere back here, and I don't like it. Stop it. No. Stop it. No. Stop it. You put your fists up. No. You know, stop it. You do these different things. Isn't that how we get? Where's the love? Because why? Where's the love? It's all about me. And what's the problem for them? It's all about them. They don't really care that they're a pain in my derriere. To me, to them, I'm a pain in theirs because I'm telling them to stop it. And so we stand at this, at these places, you know, like two old gunslingers or whatever in an old Western, each with their gun there. And there's not a lot of love in that field, is there? When you got the two old gunslingers there. Somebody's going down. And it has nothing to do with love. It has to do with the fact that I don't like you.
And either one don't want to give in either.
And either one don't want to give in, as Roger says. So, love. All right? Wow. Let's take a look at this. All right, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And mind you, I'm going to read. There's two verses I'm really going to focus on. And let me read them to you first. But then I'm going to come back and read some other things. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So watch that. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed. That pretty much covers everything, right? Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right, now the other verse is verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it heartily. Now I'm going to read you one other verse out of Matthew 6. And I just want you to, you don't all have to move over there. I'm going to come back to Colossians 3. So it says, verse 22 of Matthew 6, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I'm going to read one more verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now there it then goes on in Matthew to talk about how seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, which is food and clothing, basically. Instead of being like unbelievers who spend all their time seeking the resources to obtain their food and clothing because they have no hope in God. All right, and over here we've seen about doing all things heartily as unto the Lord. Do all things whatsoever you do, do them as unto the Lord. And we were talking about the eye being single. And really, I was talking with my children out here today, and as Charlie was saying, we've had a lot of snow out here, and we were out shoveling some snow this morning. And as we are shoveling snow, I can tell you, I'm on the path right in front of my door. And you know what's over to the side of that path? There's a trash can and a recycling bin. And then there's like a doghouse and there's a propane tank. You know, anybody who's been out there ever shoveling snow before knows, you don't, I mean, that's a pain to deal with that stuff. You got to move things and you got to get in there. Same thing on my porch here, you know. Move those chairs and stuff like that and sweep around them. But if you don't do that, what happens? You have snow out there, right? And it warms up. And then if it's been like we've had here for the last several months, it warms up, it melts, and then it's like, bam, flash freeze. It's like minus 10 degrees again, and everything freezes. So now what do you have? Ice. So you got to get it away. You got to get it all away from where you want to do things. But you know what? That's a freaking pain. That is not fun. I don't know about you. I'm down there and I'm thinking, I could go in and shower about now. I wanted to get my hair cut this morning. I could go in and look at the Word and maybe find something to preach on this morning. I can think of a gazillion things I'd rather be doing than moving that stinking trash can, getting in around that propane tank, moving that furniture and dusting it off first and getting rid of all this stuff. I could think of a lot of things that I'd rather do. And you know what? When you do the task from that standpoint, it's not only harder, what happens, you make it harder for yourself later because then you got the ice and the other things. But the other part is there's no joy. There's no joy. Now, by contrast, when because you decide to do that task heartily and you decide to give it your entire focus, your eye being single, and you do that task as unto the Lord and not unto men, now what happens is you step out of yourself in the way in which you do things. You've chosen instead to do it in an extraordinary way. And as you do that, God works with you. And God fills your heart with joy in something as mundane and frustrating and tiring, and especially the older you get, and not particularly pleasant task of shoveling snow. And we had what? Over a foot the other day. And we
18 to 20.
And when we were up there, you know, I'm up on my porch roof here and I'm using my roof rake, pulling down the foot of snow off the thing, shoveling it out, and then shoveling it back out when I get down here. So shoveling like three times. Off the roof, onto the porch roof, off the porch roof, onto the driveway, off the driveway, into the side. Now, I don't know about you, but my day job does not really prepare me for that kind of work anymore. Okay, my day job of using my flapping my tater trap and using my fingers on a keyboard is genteel, and it has nothing to do with heavy labor. Okay, I would be terrible on one of those work crews in the old chain gang things. You know what I mean? With somebody there, I'd be like, I'm dying here, tough, get back out there and stuff like that. Okay, now I didn't used to be like that, but it's 30 some odd years of like that, so now I am. So you know what? I get tired. I get sore. I get frustrated. Does anybody have any of these kinds of things? But you know what? One of the things I've learned, and the Lord has blessed me mightily in this, whatever is worth doing well. Anything that is worth doing well. And when you do it well, you know what you have to do? You have to give it your entire attention. You have to give it your entire attention. And then when you give it your entire attention, what happens is you learn things. For example, when you are brushing snow off my porch with that push broom we have, which is a nice little thing, snow, because there's a lot of it, gets caught up in there. And you start brushing snow over the porch instead of away from it. Okay? And so what you do, because you realize, you know what? You bang the thing against the wall, and you know what happens? The snow falls off, and now you can push it off the roof, the thing again. And what that does is that then you don't have that little sheet of ice that's going to cause people who want to come here to service to be put in danger because they might slip or fall. You follow what I'm saying? And we all know these things. And when you look over here in Colossians, and I'll, let's see, I'm going to start with verse 12, okay? Well, actually, I'm going to start with verse 1, then skip down to verse 12. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. In other words, you know, when you're a Christian, don't look around at people and think how much better you are than them, because you know what? You're just like them. You were just like them. The only difference between you and them is Jesus Christ. So that's why when I could come over to you guys a couple years ago like that, I knew I would know better. Everybody else is judging you guys, right? Me, I'm thinking to myself, I mean, that could have happened to me, man. That could be me. You know, but people want to think better of themselves. You know what I'm saying? They want to think better than of themselves. All right? In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. My children were actually asking me about this morning. It was not pleasant for me to talk about my pre-Christian life and the things I used to do, but they were asking me about it. So I told them about it, because I want them to understand the allure and the enticing way in which the world draws people in to different things. I mean, I don't even go up on Facebook. I'm going up on Facebook. On the right side of Facebook is women with boobs and women with this and women with that. I'm like, oh my God, please just help me here, man. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's like my finger gets this itch. Like, cut that sucker off, because that looks interesting. I wish I could say it didn't look interesting to me. They stick it up there because of course it looks interesting to you. If you're a guy, I mean, look, women with the low-cut stuff, you watch them on television, you're like, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't even have to think about it, and that's what happens to me. I don't want to be that way. I mean, it is how I am, but I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live that way. I remember what that did. You follow what I'm saying? So the fact that people fall into that stuff, hello. I mean, that's as easy as anything. If you don't, that's a miracle. I mean, that's the miracle. Not that you do. It's if you... Yeah. I mean, so come on. I mean, I mean, it's just reality. So the idea that people get all upset and think, oh my God, what a horrible person, all this other kind of stuff. Hello. I mean, who do you think you are and who are you kidding? But he goes, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. So we're renewed in knowledge. We read about Christ Jesus. That is the image that we strive for. And we go, you know what? That old guy image, I'm done with, man. That new guy image in Christ Jesus is the one I want to follow. All right? And so you go, is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So in other words, white men, black men, red men, yellow men, poor men, rich men, fat men, short men, tall men, skinny men, even women, if you can believe it. Even women. Wow. Excuse me, I just played with you guys. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, Christ is the one, not all these other stupid, idiotic things we want to make it about. You know what I'm saying? He is the one. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Well, now, you know what? Now you can have mercy unto other people. Why? Because you've had boatloads of it extended to yourself. I mean, just tractor trailers unloading of mercy. You know what I'm saying? If you want to really look back at your life and look at all your love, I mean, please. Charlie's just talking about like a couple days with a woman who's a demoniac. I mean, and he's all distressed and everything. Man, if you were to roll back the pictures and look at all the different experiences, oh my God, it would be an utter avalanche. It would be an avalanche of unloving deeds. Okay? Bowels of mercies? I guess so. But the fact of the matter is, you can't have those bowels of mercies until you realize those unpleasant truths about yourself. Then you can have them. And how do you get through them? I mean, I tell you what, it can be paralyzing. I mean, utterly paralyzing. Like, you remember when you got the wind knocked out of you as a child? somebody big would fall on you playing football or something like that, and you got the wind knocked out of you, and you're standing, you don't know if you're going to live or die. I mean, until you've had gotten through the other side of it, then you realize you'll actually live, you'll actually breathe again. But when the wind's knocked out of you, it feels like this just moment in time where it's, you can't speak, you can't do anything. Right? When you get hit with the reality of your own life and transgressions and errors, it can be utterly paralyzing. And it's why we tend to avoid knowledge of it at all costs. Okay? We don't want to think about it. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that you want to dwell there. Don't hear me wrong. But you can't fix that which is broken until you acknowledge it's broken. Okay? And so you have to come to the place where you realize that, oh my God, I thought I was doing good. I thought that was pretty hot stuff. And then you see it and it's like, oh my God. And I mean, for me, when it happened, one of the most significant ones was 10 years into being a Christian, the Lord showed me this. And when he showed it to me, what it was is it was this. It was all the attributes that I thought were my best attributes. I mean, we're not talking about things that I thought were bad. I thought they were awesome, man. I mean, just awesome. And anybody who didn't was a jerk because this was awesome. And then the Lord showed me it was not only not awesome, but it was pure, unadulterated iniquity. And that was pretty devastating, frankly. I was pretty devastated about it. I could barely breathe for about 4 months. And then what the Lord showed me, the amazing thing was, because I actually thought what it was when he showed me that was it meant that 10 years of seeking to serve him, and in many instances in these ways, okay, utilizing these attributes of mine, I thought it was a repudiation of it all. I thought it was a repudiation of my ministry to Scott and Gail. I thought it was a repudiation of the ministry in Dog River. I thought it was a repudiation of everything I had ever done in Christ Jesus. That's why it was so devastating. I was just like, gosh, what do I do? I have done nothing right. I came to that conclusion when I met the Lord. Okay, I have done nothing right. Now it's 10 years later, and I'm still not only doing nothing right, I'm doing pure, unadulterated wrong. And it was like, oh my God, how can that happen? What is going on? And what the Lord showed me, and this was most annoying to pretty much everybody who knew me at the time, I think, because they knew I was a prideful, arrogant asshole. So the idea that that God could yet be with me, notwithstanding all of that, was infuriating. But the truth was, it says, where sin abound, grace aboundeth more. And the fact of the matter is, it wasn't a repudiation of any of it, which was the amazing aspect. It wasn't a repudiation of any of it, which was the most amazing thing to me. It was actually a testimony of his grace. I was a living, breathing testimony of his grace because I did it ignorantly. I did not realize that which I was doing was wrong. He figured it took about 10 years before I was strong enough to hear that. And he was wrong. I think I needed another 10 years. But he somehow sustained me so that I was able to actually hear it and breathe again and go on. Praise God. But, you know, what can I say? It was just the truth. So he says, you know, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. We're really working on this one in the family. It doesn't have much to show for it, mind you. Because we start any task with my two boys, and the next thing is the opposite of kindness. Everything I'm shoveling, he's shoveling stuff in my way, so I have to go back and do it again. Oh, glad you guys are working so well together this morning. This is a real blessing. Thank you. I'm up here on the roof wanting to get down there and help, and I want to get down there and take a stick to you, all right? But the thing is that, see, it doesn't come natural to us. They have to learn these things. What comes natural is what they're doing. Okay? Kindness and actually being considerate of the other person is an act of God. It's an act of God. It's not an act of us. I mean, our kindness that we have in the world that we think is kind, because we judge everything by ourselves, is we do what we think, that person, we do what we would like. And a lot of times what we would like, that other person doesn't like at all. You ever notice that? I mean, my wife loves chocolate. She loves chocolate. I mean, I really could care less about chocolate. If she's going to make a meal that is one that I like, I could care less if it has chocolate in it. Okay? If she's going to make a meal that she likes, it's going to be chocolate. Okay? So if she's going to make me something chocolate thinking she's just done the most pleasing thing in the world to me, it's not going to be worth. It's not going to be right. She, if you have kindness, it means you come. You desire to know the other person and what will be a blessing to them. Kind of like, you know, when you, I remember my buddy, my cousin Steve and I, we bought Christmas presents for one another one year. I bought him the Beatles album I wanted. I never got the Beatles album I wanted. He got me something else. So he got the Beatles album I wanted, and I got something I really didn't want, probably because he wanted it. We should have just said, hey, here, you keep yours, I'll keep mine, we'll call it even. You follow what I'm saying? But kindness is really understanding that other person, what makes them tick, where they're coming from, and therefore ministering unto them in that. And that, you cannot judge by yourself. You're never going to be able to do it unless and until you get past yourself and are able to look at the other in front of you. So, you know, humbleness of mind. Well, that's something to be avoided at all costs, isn't it? I mean, humbleness of mind, you know what I mean? I'm worthless. Well, you know what? You think you're worthless. You know what happens? Next thing that happens? I can't do anything. Maybe somebody else can do it. I mean, my wife. This is my wife. Okay. My wife, love, lead the worship. Well, Cheryl says this, Ricky says this, somebody else says this. I remember, I mean, look, love, you lead the worship. Do you believe that Lord is big enough to work through you to lead the worship? He's big enough to work through Cheryl and Ricky, isn't he? How about you? I mean, he's working through them so that you can know he'll work through you. Really? You know, and they each got there different ways, so they're each telling her their way of getting there. The fact of the matter is, she's just got to work it out between herself and the Lord. It's not that the Lord can't use Rick and Cheryl to help her, don't get me wrong. But if she's looking for them to give her the formula or whatever, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. So humbleness of mind, I mean, it is something it seems strange, but when you realize that without him you can do nothing, now you can actually do something. Okay, now you can actually do something because now you can say, all right, Lord, I need your help. Please give me something that will help these people. Give me something. And so, he will. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. You follow what I'm saying? As long as you think you've got something, then you're not going to walk in humbleness of mind. So he goes on, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. All right, charity there is that love, which we're talking about. So above all of these things, put on love. And that is something you put on. Okay, and you put on because if I want a change of garments, okay, and I don't have one, I need to ask for one, right? Okay, if I don't have Christ's love, I've got some corrupt version of it, then I need to ask him for his love. And he'll fill me. He'll give me his love. And I can put that on and minister in his love unto others. And he goes, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. See, that peace of God that rules in your heart is the gospel. Okay? He died on the cross to save me from my sins. It is he who makes me acceptable. And I will stand in that acceptableness. I will go forward mightily in that acceptableness because what he did is all that God required. That's all that God required. And everything that testifies against me and says that I can't do it, reject it in the name of Jesus and go forward in the sufficiency of what he did. That's what it is to let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And when you stand in that place and God moves, you are thankful. Regularly. I mean, it's not something you have to wake up and think about. Oh, I better be thankful. I'm going to offer a sacrifice of thanks. No, you're freaking thankful because He lets you be a part of what He's doing. And you go, praise God, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing, because you're thinking, wow, that is so much better than me. And the fact that He let me be a part of that, wow. Thank you, Lord. All right, and he goes on, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, well, first of all, if it's going to dwell in you, you got to get it in there, right? You get it in there by reading it, by listening to it, by praying. You get that word in you. And it says, by two or three witnesses is anything established. Don't just do it once. Do it two or three times. And then you know what? I don't know about you, but people say, ride, like riding a bike and skiing. I mean, I hadn't been skiing in like 30 years. I've been out skiing with my children. I was pretty happy on the bunny slope at the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Because I hadn't been out, and I was like, oh my God, can I turn and go behind them and all this other stuff? And you start doing it, and you get better at it again. This is something we are to do all the time. We keep it fresh. That's why it says teaching and admonishing one another, like that teaching and admonishing. Anybody here want some admonishment? Gosh, I don't see any hands going up. Basically means we're being corrected. Okay? We don't usually like correction, but if we like correction if we know it, how easy it is to get out of the way. Like just go up on Facebook and click to the right. You're out of the way in like 5 seconds. So look, I mean, I don't think I can spend much time on Facebook. Forgive me. Somebody else is going to have to do it for me. But because it's just, to me, I don't even go up to Sports Illustrated anymore because I always got that swimsuit thing with some beautiful babes. And I'm like, just, gosh, I click on it. I'm like, stop it, man. I am bad. Please help me. I don't want to. It then goes on and he talks about, you know, wives submitting yourselves to your husbands, husbands loving your wives, children obeying your parents, fathers provoke not your children to anger, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. So in each of these things that we do it heartily, with all our heart, all our focus, all our desire to do each of these things. So children, when Dad says, come down to service through Ruthie. Oh, I'm just... the music starts. Is that what's supposed to be the answer? See, heartily is you're listening for your father's voice. That's the most important voice to you. And if it comes in the messenger of your sister, and your sister goes up and says to you, you know what? Dad says to come on down. You know what you do? You drop what you're doing and you come downstairs. Got something to work on there. We got witnesses here. We got Roger and Linda and Robin seeing witnesses here. But you see what I'm saying? That's what it is. And if you're going to love, you got to do it heartily. If you don't do it heartily, then that's that darkness that invades. You follow what I'm saying? Then you're dwelling in that darkness and the work God has nothing to do with. It's when you decide to do it heartily as unto Him that He moves mightily and He gives you a joy in that thing that you thought you weren't going to want to do. He gives you a joy in it. And it's a beautiful thing. So let's go forward in our Lord Jesus Christ and do all things heartily with singleness of mind. Amen? All right.